is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bickney.
Hey, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bickney, and we're talking about how you could do more than just keep your marriage alive, or even just survive. What would it take to see your marriage thrive? That's what we're digging into. And to see your marriage thrive, it should come as no surprise that you're going to need to know what God's Word says. And then you'll need to be willing to do what God's Word says, even if it doesn't match what you would naturally think. And so today, we're going to talk about something that rarely gets talked about. In fact, it's not something that excites human beings much. Vicky and I moved into a new neighborhood just within the past year. Bought ourselves a patio home, getting ready to get older. Got rid of the stairs in the house that we've had for 28 years. And so up close, I've had an opportunity to watch something over and over and over. Because we live on a brand new street. I've watched the builders work on something what feels like forever that we don't get excited about before you can see anything exciting happening with that new home. What am I talking about? The foundation. Oh, they push dirt around, they dig a hole, they pour footers, there's rebar. And it's funny, just like Vicky and I, we would drive up about every Friday and just look to see what would have happened. And it looks like nothing has happened. And I watch homeowners all around us do the same thing. But oh my goodness, once that foundation is laid and is secure, it takes off. Because what we want to see is walls and windows and doors and roof and landscaping. Well, guess what? For a marriage to thrive, it's the same. There has to be a right foundation. So let's talk about it today. What would that foundation look like? In the next couple podcasts, I want to dig into it, into what I'm calling a starter kit for laying the foundation of a lasting, joyful marriage. We don't want to rush into communication and rush into sex techniques and rush into parenting techniques and rush into resolving in-law issues or how to have a budget. All of that is important. And there's a place for all of that. But you cannot overlook or rush past the foundation. So let's talk about it. Because if you rush past the foundation, give no thought to it, your marriage will collapse eventually. Over time, despite how snazzy the walls might look, despite all you've got that catches someone's eye, other couples and people might look at you and say, wow, wish I had their marriage, but they don't know that the foundation isn't right. And so it is shaky because you'll need more than just books on sex technique and more than just finding a hobby to share together. I'm convinced that every couple needs to be building on the right foundation. So what would that foundation look like? Well, here's the first piece. Number one, you'll need an authority that's bigger than either one of you. And God gave it to us. It's called the Bible. Now, I know, that might sound simplistic, but recognizing the Bible as your authority in your marriage settles and solves so much. Here's why. It moves you beyond my way or your way or what I saw growing up or what you saw growing up in your home, how my parents always did it versus how your parents did it. I call this socially embedded or social embedding. And oh, I can't tell you, I've been counseling for almost 40 years now. How often I'll have a man and a woman who both say they love Jesus. They both say they believe God's word is the Bible and they want to do it. But without realizing it, they default to social embedding. It is very hard to push past what you saw. Here's what it sounds like, right? People say, well, my dad never, well, my mom always, or my mom never. And whatever you saw growing up in your home, you assume is normative and you assume it's correct. And you just expect your spouse to do the same without a conversation. So listen to me. You'll need an authority that's bigger than either one of you, including what you saw that you think is normative growing up. Oh, here's where I've really seen it. Two Americans can get married, and there's plenty of this going on, plenty of this social embedding conflict at play. But where I see it on steroids is when someone marries someone from another country, because of course, not right or wrong necessarily, but there are so many more big differences culturally if you step outside of America. And so where I've seen it is a young woman will marry a godly Nigerian young man. And she met him here stateside. And she either met him in our church or she met him at college or university. Loves Jesus. He's attending all the same parachurch organizations on campus that she is. Everything seems the same. What she can't see and doesn't know, and he often doesn't see it either, is that without realizing it, he has within him embedded a culture for the home of what he thinks is normative. And so I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. You could have a couple, and this is a couple that I spent some time with and tried to help. Because of his culture from Africa, they were both working full-time jobs. She's teaching in the classroom. If you know anything about teachers, that's a hard job, and you bring a lot of work home. My wife grew up with two teachers. Both her parents were lifelong teachers. Each of them taught 40 years or more. And teachers work hard. They bring papers home. They have to make phone calls. There's a lot of evening work. So she's not only working full-time, but she's coming home and has all this stuff to do because she's a teacher. He's a full-time pastor leading a church. They both love Jesus. He comes home from being a pastor all day, and I know something about that. That is not easy. That's way harder than people realize, all that is going on at the church with people. Now these two people arrive home for the evening, both having worked hard all day, and he sits in his chair, even after they had a baby. And now there's a baby to take care of. There's food that needs to be prepared. There's a kitchen that needs to be cleaned. There's a young child that needs to be bathed and put to bed, and he doesn't move. And they have conflict. And he keeps saying, in my country, the man doesn't. But in my country, the man doesn't. But in my country, let me help you here, you guys. The Bible always trumps culture. Bible trumps culture. So it doesn't matter if it was your American culture that you happened to have a dad that never changed a diaper. If you had a dad that never changed a diaper, I'm sorry that's what you saw, because that was not a Jesus example. We're not going with our home. We're not going with our culture. We're not going with social embedding. We're going with the Bible. In fact, we're going more specific than Bible in general. We fix our eyes on not your dad you saw growing up or your mom you saw growing up, even if they were a great one. Look past your mom and dad, and we fix our eyes on guess who? Say it out loud. Jesus. You realize his last sermon had very few words and was one of his most powerful sermons. You remember in John 13, the upper room, where he got up from the table. Why? Because everyone was sitting there and nobody moved. But everyone knew somebody needs to wash feet. Everything had been provided for Jesus and his disciples to celebrate the Lord's Supper. An upper room that they had rented, that was common in Jerusalem, to rent out an upper room. A table, the food, the bowl, the towel, the water, everything except a servant to wash the feet. And that was considered the most menial task in that day. And so, of course, all the disciples were just sitting there thinking, I'm not washing feet. Let one of the fishermen do it. I'm a tax collector. I'm educated. Imagine the thoughts just rumbling through their heads. And then Jesus himself gets up from the table, lays aside his outer garment, stoops, having wrapped the towel around himself, and begins to wash feet. It was very counter-cultural. He did not go with normative. So folks, both husband and wife, don't go with what, quote, is normal. Don't go with what necessarily the culture is doing or saying. Don't even go necessarily with what you saw growing up. Go with the Bible, especially with the example of Jesus. We're talking about a foundation, a solid foundation for a marriage. And piece number one is you'll need an authority that's bigger than either one of you. Not just what you think, what you believe, what you saw, what you've decided. You submit to God's word and God's son. And you're like, God, if you'll show it to me, I'll do it by your grace. Hey, you're listening to Thrive, how to do more than just keep your marriage alive, but how to see it thrive. And we are talking about the right foundation. When we come back from our break, we're going to push it a little further, and I'm going to give you a couple more key pieces for the right foundation if you want to see your marriage do more than just survive.
All right, we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment. You know what's fascinating about what he's talking about today? That foundation piece, it's not just about marriage. It's about our entire approach to relationships. And it reminds me of a resource that we have by Dr. Greg Gifford, Hearts and Habits. Greg dives deep into how our hearts influence our habits, right? And our habits shape our hearts. And whether you're married, single, or you're just trying to grow in your relationships with coworkers or people that you go to church with, this book is going to revolutionize how you think. Hearts and Habits by Dr. Greg Gifford. And speaking of change and growth, something exciting happening at Fortis Institute. And I don't know if you've checked out the Fortis Plus app just yet, but you are missing out if you haven't, because it's not a subscription model, and that's not a slide at ministries who have subscription models. But this is different, completely free. 7 fresh pieces of content every single day, including the incredible Gary Varvel's cartoons. Absolutely hilarious. He completely nails what Christians are dealing with today. Check it out. It is absolutely free of charge. As I said, Fortis Plus. You can go to fortisplus.org, or you can download the app to your mobile device. But here's what really gets me excited. We're expanding our mission here in a huge way at Fortis Institute. We're not just about delivering a whole lot of content. We have brought in 8 theological voices to stand right alongside Todd. Because let's be honest, the challenges that we face as Christians today, they require more than just one perspective. If I can be honest with you, we cannot do this alone. This is the biggest, boldest thing that we have ever attempted, and we need partners who share our vision. And so, would you consider joining us and becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support means that we can create resources like Hearts and Habits and develop new ways to equip believers and pastors and churches for the challenges ahead in this world that we're living in. Log on to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how you can join us in this mission by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to unpack what it means to build that biblical foundation. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Well, you're listening to Thrive. And today, we've been digging into the right foundation that has to be laid for a marriage to thrive before you ever begin to throw up walls and windows and decor and landscaping and all that exciting, jazzy stuff that catches other people's eyes far more than what we're talking about today. But oh, listen, you don't want to neglect poking, digging, considering, Could it be that the struggles you have in your marriage are because you don't have the right foundation in place? And so, piece number one is, I told you, you're going to have an authority that's bigger than either one of you. What you think, what he thinks, what she thinks, what you saw, what the culture says. And God's given it to us. It's called the Bible. You see, here's what happens. It puts every couple on level ground. Do you realize that? Even this whole notion of husbands lead and be the head and wives submit and respect, there, it doesn't mean that husbands are not submitted. Both husbands and wives need to submit and lay aside their own agendas and sense of what my rights are and what I think and what I saw. Both together need to be submitted to a higher authority, and it's God's word and it's God's son. And that puts a couple on level ground, both submitted to God's word and saying, Lord, what do you say? Not my way. We tend to think, what can I do to get my way? What if I don't get my way? I've got to get my way. Let me give you another question instead of that. Lord, what do you say? Not my way, but what do you say? And so in a very real way, you guys, we need both husband and wife to find themselves in Isaiah chapter 66. This is one of my favorite passages. I read through the Bible every year and I've got favorite places. I hope you're allowed to have favorite places because I've got them. Now, I have to admit, the longer I live, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I read my Bible year after year, my list of favorite places just keeps growing. But here's one of them. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. This is God speaking. Listen to what he says. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you'll build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and on all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is humble and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Oh, the phrase I want you to get a hold of is, but on this one will I look. Now you just chew on that a minute. Think about that. We know that God is omniscient. He sees all. 2 Chronicles 16 says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. He sees it all. But what this is talking about that gets me excited, and I think it should get you excited, is what causes God, the God of the universe that sees all, to ever stop and say, whoa, look at that. Look at that. Whatever gets God's attention. When does God ever lean out of the heavenlies and say to the cherubim and seraphim, oh my goodness, look at her. Look at her, right? Believe it or not, it's not what we would think. It's not what gets our attention. Oh, look how gifted he is. Oh, look how gifted she is. Oh, look how strong he is. Strong she is. Oh, look what he just did. She just did. The thing that catches God's attention is sadly something that we don't notice or get excited about, but he can't help but notice. He loves it. On this one will I look. What one? On him or her who is humble and of a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit means you grieve over your own sin instead of being so busy pointing out the sin in others around you, starting with your spouse. You grieve over your own sin. You're humble. You grieve over your own sin. Oh, but there's more, because this is what we're poking on right now in this point. And who trembles at my word. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe the Bible's God's word. Okay, great start. It's much better to say, I submit to God's word. I put myself under the authority of God's word. In other words, this passage is telling us humility and submission to God's word will make all the difference in your marriage. Oh my goodness. You've got to bring humility to a marriage. And you've got to bring a passionate willingness to submit to the authority of God's word. Humility and submission. And I'm talking about both to the husband and the wife. Just because I'm using that word submission, men, if you're a guy listening to me right now, don't tune out and think, yeah, she should submit. Oh, listen, I'm talking to you, buddy. You should submit to God's word long before you ever expect your wife to submit to your word. In fact, it's very hard to submit to someone when you watch them and they don't submit to anybody. Both husband and wife submitted to God's word, bringing humility to the table. Oh, if you're both submitted to a higher authority than your own, it moves every discussion outside the realm of personal preference. Who can be the most persuasive, or who can bully and wear the other down? I'm not that guy that doesn't talk. I don't just grunt and say, yeah. Oh my goodness, I have the gift of teaching. So can you imagine? I will talk you to death. And that's what I was doing early in our marriage, just talking, coming at it from every angle, bringing it, trying to help her see what I was saying. But I didn't have humility. I wasn't interested in understanding what she was saying, and I wasn't, as much as I should have been, submitted to God's authority and God's word, saying, God, what do you say? Not my way, but what do you say? So you'll need an authority that's bigger than either one of you. And God gives it to us, his word. Let me give you a second piece of this foundation. We're talking about biblical sound foundation for your marriage before you get excited about any of the other particulars that you will very often see loaded up in a marriage book. Number two, you'll need a purpose that's bigger than your own needs, desires, and dreams. Now, we've dug into this earlier in the show, but it bears repeating right here. You'll have to have an authority that's bigger than your own, what you saw, what you think, what you believe. And you've got to have a purpose that's bigger than your own desires and dreams. Otherwise, there will be two kingdoms in conflict. Woo! You'll have two people waking up with a my kingdom come, my will be done attitude. So what is the purpose for marriage? Your marriage should glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is our go-to passage on this for all of life. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That includes marriage. So let me ask you, do you know how to do marriage to the glory of God? Because it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And it starts by laying aside your own agenda and expectations and saying, God, what is your purpose? And we covered it earlier in our show, that the purpose is way bigger than our own dreams and wish lists. In fact, he sticks the marriage passage landing in Ephesians 5:32 by saying, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul says there's something at the heart of a marriage that was designed and supposed to preach a sermon about Jesus and the glory of God, which means a strong marriage is a billboard for Jesus Christ and the gospel. But on the flip side, it means that an ugly Christian marriage is like graffiti that defaces and devalues something precious. Oh, it's still marriage, but it's been defaced and devalued. There's something ugly covering it up and keeping the world from seeing what God wanted them to see. In other words, an ugly Christian marriage, you guys, misrepresents the glory of God and your Savior. So it's bigger than just, aren't you unhappy? I'm miserable. Let's work on this marriage. I'm sure you are miserable if you're not doing it God's way, but there's something bigger at stake than your misery, the glory of God. Oh, he wants us to put that on display because there's already enough selfishness, chaos, confusion, and brokenness in our world. Rob Bell, who I would certainly take issue with on so many theological points, actually gets it right on this one when he says, quote, this marriage between a man and woman is about something much bigger than the relationship itself. It points beyond them to somebody else, to God. The point of marriage isn't marriage. It's a picture, a display, a window that you look through to something else. A marriage is not designed to add to the brokenness of the world, but to add to the oneness of the world and to give a glimpse of hope and what God is like. The foundation that has to be in place for your marriage to do more than just survive or stay alive. If you want it to thrive, it's got to be built on the right foundation, an authority that's bigger than yours, and a purpose that's bigger than your own wish list or dream.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.